Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
That I know of, that I agreed with fully on everything. But that don't mean that I'm going to lay out of church just because I don't agree with everything. And I heard Dad Hagin say the same thing. Dr. Kenneth Hagin said he never met anybody in all his travels that he agreed with fully on. You remember a man named Dad Goodwin that Dr. Kenneth Hagin used to talk about? Anybody remember him? You know, that was some of Mom and Dad Hagin's best friends. But do you know that doctrinally, they disagreed, highly disagreed, on some key doctrinal issues, Brother Hagin and Dad Goodwin. But that didn't mean he didn't fellowship with them. That didn't mean he wrote them off. He said they knew how to pray. They knew how to get a hold to the horns of the altar, so to speak, and God used them supernaturally. So some of his best friends that he had for many, many years, Mom and Dad Goodwin, and that was Mom and Dad Hagin, they disagreed on key doctrine issues. In fact, if I told you what they were, it would give you ladies a free permanent wave, and you men may never need another haircut before. Again. But Brother Hagin didn't get all put out with it, you know, because all of us are still here, and we're all still human, and all of us are human, and we can miss it. And in fact, sometimes, probably when you think the other fella or the other lady or the other person is wrong, it may be you. Thank you. Nobody's shouting now. You know what I mean? And then when you grow a little bit and develop a little bit, I have people, you know, periodically challenge me on things that I say. And I always tell them, I'm human and I can miss it. And because you have to have that attitude. You can't get the attitude, well, I know it all. I'm Mr. Big Stuff, because certainly I don't know it all. And I have noticed over the years that people have ministered things to me and told me things in a kind way. But I didn't see it the way they saw it at the time. But later on, sometimes 3, 4, 5 years later, I seen it just as clear as they did. In fact, a little bit more than they did. But I wasn't at the same spiritual level that they were at the time. And that's why I don't go around telling everybody everything I know. And I don't know it all. Dad Hagin left this earth. He went to heaven saying this. I was with him in his last meeting. I was with him his last few days on earth, because that was my assignment. But he said, I know a lot of things. This is what he said. He didn't say it in pride. I know a lot of things that I've never told anybody. See, you don't tell everybody everything you know. Somebody said, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind. Granny said, you need to keep your mind. You need a little bit to work with up there. You know, even Jesus did not tell everything he knew. Hold your place right here. Turn to St. John 16. There's a time to talk, but there's also a time to be quiet. Sometimes, you know, even, you know, my wife will know certain things because she's with me all the time. And then maybe we'll be talking to somebody, or somebody will be talking to me. And this person will be just kind of plowing my field crosswise about a particular doctrinal issue or something. And she knows what I think about it because she's there and with me all the time. And she will later say to me, why didn't you just tell them? You could have proved it to them in the Bible. You could have showed them in the Bible. Why didn't you just tell them that? And she was, my wife, loves me, wants to protect me, you know. And I said, honey. I said, the reason I didn't tell them is because they're not on a spiritual level enough to receive it. I said, all it would have done was have created a bigger argument, because they're never going to see it my way until they grow beyond where they're at. And that doesn't lift me up. But sometimes you just flat don't tell everything you know. Because if you do, it can get you in trouble. Where did I say turn to? John 16. What's this got to do with tithing? I don't know, but maybe we'll fit it in here somewhere. Brother Hagin said these side journeys sometimes are just as good as the main subject or the main thought. But this is the words of Jesus Christ. Could we believe Jesus and follow his example? St. John chapter 16, verse number 12. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his followers right before he went to heaven. And look what he said. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You couldn't understand them if I told you. You couldn't perceive them if I told you. He's still talking. That don't mean that you tell everything that you know. Notice Jesus did not tell his disciples and followers before he left this earth everything he knew. He's still revealing things today. In fact, most of the ones that he were talking to right there, in fact, I'd just say it like this. All of them didn't even really understand who he was. The greater revelation came when Paul was called by the Lord, and then Paul received the revelation of what Jesus actually came to do and accomplish in this earth through the believer and through the local church. And Paul wrote approximately, not quite, but approximately 3/4 of the New Testament. And that's where the greater revelation came from. It didn't come with just his disciples that followed him every day. What we would call the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And of course, we know one of them, Judas, you know, that had betrayed the Lord. And then they chose another one, I think, was it Matthias, to kind of take his place. Wasn't that him that they chose over in the book of Acts? But anyway, they really did not have a handle or grip or a good understanding on who Jesus was. How do you know? Because after Jesus was crucified, actually when he was crucified, remember they come to arrest him and they all ran. Peter followed him at a distance, you know, and then they finally got in there and Peter cursed and swore and said, no, I don't even know who he is. And then afterwards, they were such in fear of their life, they went and locked themselves in a room somewhere and hid because they didn't realize who Jesus was. And then Jesus, remember, he came and appeared to two of them and upbraided them for their doubt and unbelief because they really didn't understand who he was yet. So he didn't tell them everything. And sometimes we have to use wisdom about what we tell other folks. Just because you got a great revelation, you know what I mean, doesn't mean that you just spill that revelation out on somebody else. And sometimes, you know what, I've had to learn this over the years, and I'm still learning. I haven't arrived by any means. When the Lord reveals something to me, sometimes the Lord has had me not to say what he revealed to me, even though I thought it'd be pertinent, sometimes for 3 to 4 years. See, just like in 2011, there's judgment coming to the church. But the Lord wouldn't let me say that. I've known that since 2005. I've known it since 2005, but I couldn't say nothing about it. Why? And why is it coming? Well, the judgment's coming because in 2006, the church disobeyed God. In 2006, the church should have been up running in the glory. They should be doing what God said, but there was a turn and a separation from the way of the Spirit, from the way of the Holy Ghost, from the way and the principles of the Bible. And sermons begin to be, quotes from CEOs, you know, corporate, you know, executive officers and things like that, and gurus. And book reports are a review of some kind of ungodly movie or somebody on American Idol. Which, I mean, that's exactly what happened. And I'm talking about these are in Pentecostal churches. Those things rose to the forefront, and we turned and took a deviated beyond the path, and God has been waiting on the church now since 2006 to get back in his will. That's 5 years. In 2011, judgment will come in the church. God cannot judge the world until he judges the church. Said, Brother Randy, the sin is already paid for. You can just do what you want to and everything's fine. Well, go tell that to Jesus. Nowhere in the New Testament can you find that to be the truth. And I know that there's very important people, and very well-known people that pastors churches of 30,000 that are writing books saying that 1 John 1:9 was not written to the church, which says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just forgive you of your sin. But the person that wrote that does not know what they're talking about. Because 1 John 1:9, chapter 1, in fact, this particular doctrine that's going around now, it's a doctrine of grace, you know, in fact, it's hurt more people than anything I know, are saying, you know, you don't even have to go to the extreme, but you don't even have to confess your sins anymore. You're already forgiven. The only sin that Jesus Christ paid for, the only sin that he'll ever pay for, the only sin that Jesus will ever pay for you, is the sin that is confessed and forsaken. If you do not confess your sin and forsake your sin, you will pay for your sin to some degree, in some way. It's going to happen. But how do you know? I can tell you from experience and prove it to you from the Word of God. So there's all kind of goofy things that's going on out there. in the body of Christ that's trying to hinder us today. Another thing about 1 John chapter 1, which is being said and stated and proclamated around the world to a high degree by well-meaning people, and even well-meaning, well-known ministers, and I'm not knocking anybody, I'm not against anybody, not attacking anybody, that's why I'm not calling anybody's name. But they say that 1 John chapter 1 was written to the Gnostics or written to unbelievers. But I'd like to point out something to you. 1 John chapter 1, in fact, the whole letter of 1 John was written in context. It was not broken up in chapter and verses when it was written. So you can't take 1 John chapter 1 and separate it from chapter 2 or chapter 3, chapter 4, so on. You know what I mean? It's all one letter. It was all written in context. It was broken up by man later on that wrote the words down or broke up the Bible so we could have chapter 1, chapter 2. But when they wrote a letter, they didn't write it in chapter and verse. Like when you write a letter, you don't write it in chapter and verse. Isn't that right? And so all of those kind of things are not good for us today. So you don't tell everything that you know. And I don't want to get into that because that's a whole other message in and of itself. But we just throw that in for free. Yes, we still need to confess and forsake our sin. And yes, we still need to ask God for forgiveness. So Brother Randy, you're developing sin consciousness in people. No, I'm not developing sin consciousness in anybody. I'm just telling them what the Bible says. I believe that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I do know this. I do know that Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin, and he appeared to him several times, that he needed to repent of certain things, and he needed to get some things right. In fact, if you go back and you look at Brother Hagin, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's life, who was a prophet and an apostle to his entire generation, see, it was in divine destiny that Brother Hagin die at 55 years of age. This is in print, in publication. At 55 years of age, Jesus appeared to him, walked in the room where he was at in the hospital, pulled up a chair, sat down beside him, and said that it was in divine destiny that Dad Hagin died at 55 years of age. Now, he didn't die at 55 years of age because he repented. What had happened, oh, no, here we go. We're going to talk about finances somewhere. But I know you want to know about this too, right? So this all has to do with finances. You're obeying the Word of God. But Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet. God had called him to be a prophet and speak to the body of Christ. When a prophet speaks by sudden revelation, sudden inspiration of the moment, their messages, as a general rule, the prophetic message is unprepared. It's not something you study out, even though you can study. There's different ministry gifts and the way they operate. But it's something that God gives you, a revelation that God gives you by the moment. That doesn't mean that you can't add to it and you can't study about it, certainly. But anyway, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was a teacher as well as a prophet. And he liked to put his teaching ministry ahead of his prophetic ministry. And that's what he was doing. And he was getting into trouble because he didn't realize the error of his way at the time. And the Lord had spoken to him about it two times, you know, spiritually, just in prayer, had led him to quit putting his teaching ministry ahead of his prophetic ministry because the prophetic ministry was so necessary in the body of Christ and was sadly lacking. There's a lot of people that call themselves something that's not. And so what God was trying to do was bring the true prophet to the forefront to speak to the church, because a prophet actually, in a sense, speaks for the Lord. You know what I mean? Don't make up things or nothing, but the Lord speaks to him. He shows him things to edify the entire body of Christ. And so Dr. Kenneth Hagin was preaching in a meeting, and he was, back in those days, they had the old reel-to-reel tape recorders, you know, with the big reel things, and he had a mic where he was mic'd, and they could record it, and the recorder had to sit right there because they didn't have these real long cables. And he was jumping around and dancing. They got happy about the word. You know, he was noted to do that. And while he was dancing around and happy, he jumped off the platform and was going to jump down to the floor and dance a jig for joy, you know. And when he jumped up in the air to jump off the platform, his eyes happened to look down, and he was headed right towards that reel-to-reel tape recorder. So he had tried to adjust his direction of flight while in the air, and his wings just didn't work correctly. And anyway, when he come down, he hit on his elbow, and he actually chipped part of his elbow, and he hurt him.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer.
Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.